Okay, left out of my absence on the radar speed detection signs. We've had the signs on Womack Road in a little bit over a month now. And we've gotten our first report on the data from that. What, the way we ran these signs is in the first week after they were installed, we ran a full week with them in what's called stealth mode, where the radar was on collecting data, but it did not display the speed, so it wasn't giving the feedback to the driver, which basically set a baseline for where speeds and how people were driving. And then in the second week, we turned the signs on, and I think the data that we used in the after condition was the third week's worth of data, which was after they'd been on with the display mode a full week. Some of the results, the full report's attached, but some of the highlights. During school zone hours, there was a 3 to 5% reduction in the average speed, and the drop of the percent of violators, those exceeding 25 miles an hour, it varied depending on the time from which day it was, from anywhere from 75 to 95% of the people exceeding the speed limit down to a total of 50 to 65%. It's still a lot, but it's a lot. It's a significant improvement. There's on overall travel speed, it showed about a 5% reduction.
Five mile an hour.
Sorry. In average travel speed.
Read what you meant.
And there was a significant reduction in the number of speed limit violations throughout, as shown in the data, which shows that, basically it shows that these signs are working with their intended value. Our intent is to go back periodically with all these signs constantly collect data. They can store a year's worth of data at a time. So anytime we can go back every several months and go back and pull sample data to see, are they still being effective? Are they becoming more effective? Or are they losing their effectiveness? So we'll be able to develop some long-term data. As for the other 8-speed detection signs, they are actually our contractor is picking them up from the company tomorrow, and we'll be installing them this week. Some of them will be up and operational by the end of the week. They're depending on that if we can get all the bases and poles in, whether all 8 will be up, but the intent is by early next week, all 8 will be up and operational, and we'll do the same thing. Again, with all these signs, it's operated in stealth mode for a full week to be able to collect baseline data for each road and then turn them on and then follow up with actual effectiveness data on these signs.
Yeah. Congratulations, Richard. Thank you for the data, the information. I think it's really telling that there's been a reduction. As far as the installation, I would hope that the poles being installed are very sturdy and would withstand any abuse that may happen. But really what I'm concerned about is that if they're installed in the near future, that your stealth mode might be during a holiday week. I would hope that your stealth mode and the actual data collection would be during normal operating times, when you get a full range of information to where you get good data, stealth.
We will.
Okay.
If it's this week, in which we'll put it into the holiday week next week, we may operate them a couple weeks in stealth mode, or, you know, delay turning them on so we're not doing it during Thanksgiving.
Now that we've advertised them, we're
in stealth mode. Especially since all these are in school zones, to see the effectiveness of the school zone time.
Correct.
School has to actually be in session. I know school will be out of session for several of those days.
But thank you very much. This is, I think, money well spent as far as the city is concerned. Thank you.
And just another note, I think we have budgeted $50,000 for the tent for the signs, and I think the quote came in on the signs themselves for the 8 signs, about $26,000. And we had $16,000 for the 2 at Womack, but those had the school flashers attached. So overall, we came in under what was allocated for budget for these.
Do you have enough to do the one area we did miss was in here often on the primary road?
On Roberts? We might, if that's, I mean, we do have some, we allocate, I think, $40,000, was that right, Warren, for the signs, and we may actually, with what we spent, we may actually have some money to add those two in there. I'm not, because of the red light there, it's not as, they're not as critical, but I think that I agree that it's still positioning.
Robert, you live right there.
Yeah, let me tell you. There are people zipping through there at amazingly high speeds. That's the one place that I have a concern that we didn't address. We need to do. If there is money that we budgeted for this, that's a good place to
do. I'll look into that and get what we more to make sure where we are.
Yeah, please do. And I think we, you know, again, just in retrospect with the change in the attendance zones at the new elementary school, that has relieved a decent amount.
But the problem is, as you've relieved some of the pressure, the speeds go up.
Yeah. Well, right, that's
right. I mean, that's the issue, is that before they were in, they were at a complete stop. Yeah. And now they're zipping through there.
Yeah. I would say, in relationship to the, you know, Richard, you and I have had a conversation two or three times that on the Austin school, that the one by the school is more important than the Shanley Dunwoody Redfield Road one is, just because of the tremendous amount of traffic. And I did talk to you earlier, and I talked to the chief about, you know, they put up the portable sign there for a while right at the beginning of school because of all the neighbors, our neighbors that walk their kids to school there. It is kind of a narrow situation, so I think that is a very important thing there. And I don't know if they, the 25 mile an hour speed limit school signs really slow people down or not. I mean, it slowed me down because I know the chief's around there. He knows I got a red car.
That's washed.
All right, any other questions on that? Dan?
Is this your last thing to present tonight?
Tonight it is, yes.
Okay. Can you kind of, if you have any update on the mill grant?
Yes. Actually, if my contractor did what he was supposed to, if our crew did what they were supposed to do, those left turn signs should be up by now. And I can drive by Dunwoody Village, Dunwoody Club Drive, to make sure they were. They were supposed to be in today. I've already been in communication with the chief about starting enforcement efforts, knowing that in the first few weeks we're just going to give his officers are just going to give warnings before we start actually writing hard tickets. And we actually gave flyers out to all the residents out there. And I did just get today, I did get the traffic count data from the before condition. What it showed was, I'm going off the top of my head, it was about 800 or 900 cars a day on Bill Trace, the one that comes off of Dunwoody Club. And Bill Glen, between there and Roberts, was about almost 1,000 cars a day. It significantly reduced numbers on the other roads in the neighborhood. One thing that I did find surprising is they collected speed data there, and despite the claims of the road, none of the 85th percentile speeds were more than 27, 28 miles an hour on those streets. And both the ones with the speed humps, and the ones without the speed humps. It almost didn't really make a difference whether the speed humps were there or not. The average speed was around 27, 28 miles an hour are those 85th percentile. So there's not a speeding problem that we've detected in the data collected, but there is still always the number of cars won't do that.
And just to point on that, Glenn Schellenheimer and Mark Yonda, they email me every day on it. So I will know the instant that baby goes up, I will be getting emails, I can tell you. And when I left tonight, I didn't get an email yet, but I told him to go check it. So.
I'll check it on my way home to make sure. Otherwise, my crews are getting a call.
By the way, another thing I'd just like to add, since this is your last thing, on Village Creek Drive, is it, where we put up the speed bumps? There were two of them that were right there on the corner, and two of the citizens got a hold of me. I emailed that all to all of you, and you all moved it down about 100 feet down away from their house, and they appreciate that. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I hate you.
Actually, that was me. I was involved, but I had already written to Richard and asked him to do this. Along with, this is a Village Creek Drive.
Yeah.
No, Danny, I did. On Village Creek Drive, there's another issue because we did because I had asked for the lane to allow the cyclists and there's not a curb, you know, the curb is a soft curb. Mm-hmm. People are actually driving up on the lawns of the residents along Village Creek Drive, and it's really bad. People are putting stakes up in their yards and trying to keep people. It's unbelievable. So is there anything that we can...
I'll have to turn that to Chief.
That's tire deflators.
From a public work standpoint, I don't know if there's anything we can do. You know, we're trying to accommodate both reducing speeds of the bicyclists and the pedestrians, and that's people that we still have citizens or non-citizens, whatever they may be, right, that choose to ignore it. I guess
we can
if you drive along there, you can see where cars are actually going up on people's lawns. It's really bad.
At least they have to slow down to do that.
But they do.
I'll tell you, they're going to do it two or three times because the bike's going to be so far out of the line, they're not going to be able to see the
bikes growing up all the time in our yard. Absolutely.
I'm just trying to be direct with my husband. I'm encouraging you to do it.
I'm not going to
talk to a social works person in the county park in San Francisco. I get a lot of calls at Roberts Road and Spalding. Those things haven't been sick yet. The left-hand turn going north on Roberts Road, they took away for some reason, although they got the left-hand turn lane there, they took away the arrow, backing people up. And they need to re-implement that arrow. And coming south on, in the afternoon, when people coming from Roswell area, 400, sometimes it takes as much as 45 minutes to get from 400 exit to Fault.
Right.
I hope they're working on that.
They are working on it, and I've also heard, we've also had several citizens contact us about backups on Spalding coming from the Sandy Springs, from Shanley-Dunwoody coming towards the intersection that have complained about backups. And I have talked, and I will pass along to, again, to our folks. Actually, I'm meeting with my Sandy Springs counterparts tomorrow on a different intersection up in that area. So, and that I will address, bring those issues up to them.
All right.
I think there's an easy way.
Thank you, Richard. Richard, one question. You said this is your last item. Number 17 is utility contractors. Is that Public Works or no?
That's going to be Tom. Really.
Okay.
That's not mine.
Okay.
Although, yeah. I wouldn't leave, Richard, because we might want you. So just...
Everything the mayor said, do it.
Now get out of here.